Our gospel reading today comes from the 13th chapter of Matthew, and there's two parts to this gospel reading. There's the first nine verses, Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9, which is the parable of the sower, and then the second reading is chapter 13, verses 18 to 23, which is an explanation of the parable of the sower. So let's begin. Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And our second part of the reading, an explanation of the parable. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In my Bible, this section we just read is labeled the parable of the sower. But I think it ought to be called the parable of the sower with really lousy aim. Because most farmers, when they sow seed, put the seed in the field where they know it's going to grow. But not this seed sower. He scattered it all over the place, on the path, on the rocky ground, among the thorns, everywhere. Reading this parable, I was reminded of the work of a man I've read about for a number of years, a guy named Chris Arnade. He has a PhD in physics from Johns Hopkins University, and he's a former Wall Street commodities broker who made a lot of money and then left Wall Street to pursue his passion, photography. He's traveled across America taking pictures of people, and he's written a best-selling book entitled Dignity, published last year, 2019. But he first became famous for his photos of the poorest of the poor in New York City. One of his observations about the poorest and most desperate people in the Hunts Point section of the Bronx is how many of them have a deep faith in Christ. Many have addiction issues also, which lead to crime and prostitution and other problems. But nonetheless, he was shocked at the evidence of faith he saw. Inside of tents, underneath freeway overpasses, there would be crucifixes hanging from tent poles. And lying amongst drug paraphernalia, you'd see a Bible. Arnade himself was affected by this, turning away from the agnosticism he'd embraced back to the Christian faith of his youth. Sort of like the sower in the parable, just randomly sowing seeds, the seed can land anywhere. And it's surprising sometimes shocking, where good soil is found. Do those people understand the gospel? I bet there are some that understand it very well. And I bet they're a lot less judgmental than we are. Jesus explained that the seed is the word of the kingdom. It's the gospel, the good news of God's forgiveness for those of us who haven't earned it and don't deserve it. The good news is scattered around, and it can land among homeless people or land in the wealthiest communities. It can land in strip joints or church sanctuaries. It can land in people's homes or where they work or in schools or on playgrounds. God's word gets scattered everywhere. The question is whether or not the word lands in a place where it sprouts and makes a difference, in a good, fertile place with deep, soft dirt, or a hard place with shallow, rocky soil. Often it's impossible to predict what kind of soil it's landed on. Sometimes people, including us, don't understand the great treasure of the gospel. We don't appreciate our need for forgiveness and reconciliation with God. One reason is we're distracted. There's money to be made and spent, careers to be built, kids to raise, reputations to polish, retirements to plan for and then enjoy. There's things other than the gospel to worry and think about. And sometimes there's a price to be paid for identifying with the gospel. Parts of the world are violently opposed to the gospel of Christ. There's rocky soil out there, to be sure. But there's also good, rich, fertile soil. So where is it found? Fertile soil, receptive to God's word, excellent for the purposes of God, that kind of soil is found in the minds of people eager for God's forgiveness and acceptance and peace and hope and purpose. And often they are people who have suffered or are suffering now. In Romans 8, there's an interesting verse that describes us as children of God. And Romans 8 goes on to say in verse 17 that if we are children of God, then we are also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The suffering described here includes the suffering of life, the sadness and disappointment and grief and struggle that accompany our lives. You know, maybe the suffering you've experienced is because you've broken God's law. Or maybe the suffering you've experienced is simply because you live in this fallen world. The reason for your suffering isn't so important. The primary point is that Jesus came down to earth in part to suffer along with you. And it's in our suffering that he reaches out to us. And our suffering hearts and minds are rich, fertile soil where God's word of compassion and forgiveness and help and mercy is received and takes root. God's purpose for your life, whatever that might be, begins to grow in that rich soil of struggle, and we become the people that God uses for his purposes. Because people who receive forgiveness tend to forgive, and people who experience compassion are compassionate. People who have been loved love others. There's a verse from Isaiah 55 that describes the transforming power of God's word. God says, "My word that goes out from my mouth shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Bottom line, there's purpose in suffering. Later in Romans 8, we're reminded that all things work together for good for those called according to God's purposes, Romans 8:28. Again, That means that God somehow redeems our suffering. God turns us into good soil, often through our suffering, primarily through our suffering. That's good news for us who suffer and are forgiven and accepted and loved by God, which includes every one of us who've been baptized and have received the gift of faith in Christ. Somehow, some way, someday, something positive will come from your suffering. Amen.